Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of pro-metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today I've got our friend Jay Feldman back on the podcast. We've had him on numerous times. He's a super knowledgeable, super nice guy. And yeah, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Kitty. Happy to be back on.
So we talked for about 5 minutes about what we were actually going to talk about because we had multiple topics. And the one that we actually settled on is gut health, which I think is fantastic because, you know, so many women come to us in their 40s and 50s. I mean, women of all ages, really, who are just suffering from bloating, constipation, you know, SIBO. And it's just really uncomfortable for them and it really affects their life. I mean, you know, I remember in the past when I was doing all the crazy diets and I'd be constipated and wouldn't do a shit for like 3 days and it is the worst feeling, you know. And even now if I get very stressed or if I don't fuel adequately, I really notice it all slows down. So I think it's just such a fantastic topic and there's just, yeah, a lot to talk about. So where do you even want to start?
That's a great question. I mean, it's such a common set of issues, right? For some people, it's like bloating and discomfort. The constipation is a big one, especially with women who tend to have, especially the excess estrogen, you know, the estrogen dominant state tends to go hand in hand with constipation. Or there's the people who feel like they just can't eat anything. And I think especially in our world, you know, we're talking about how great it is to be able to eat carbs and people are like used to, you know, low carb and they say, my belly's flat and I go and bring some carbs in. And now all of a sudden they're feeling bloated and I think that's a common experience and we don't want that, right? That's a sign that things are a little off and we can totally fix it, right? That's reversible. So, I mean, it's a really common set of issues. And I think a lot of people don't realize that that also translates to how they feel in other areas. You know, concentration and brain fog can be a major issue for people who have these gut issues. As I mentioned earlier, the excess estrogen, because we clear estrogen out through the intestines. Also skin issues are really common, whether that's on one hand, you have things like acne or eczema, psoriasis. Those are really commonly tied to gut issues. Joint pain is another one that, you know, I can't tell you how many people have had who have, you know, said that they had this issue. They went to their doctor and they're like, oh, that's just aging, right? That's just normal. The joint pain, it just happens, right? Like these sorts of issues just come up with aging, but that's not at all the case, right? And we can totally fix and reverse these things. And so much of them come back to the gut. I think it's a really important starting place for a lot of people because if it's not in a good place, you can't do too much else. You can't expand, you know, into eating a lot of the foods that are really healthy sometimes if you're dealing with these gut issues. And especially, you know, the constipation is a big one and you just feel like you're adding, I don't know, you've got a tube of toothpaste that's filled and you're just like adding more to it or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's honestly the worst feeling. It's quite stressful. I find it quite stressful. You know, like being constipated, if we've been through a particularly stressful time or if I don't sleep, you know, and I'm stressed, I'll notice the next day I won't do a poo and I'm like quite stressed about it. You know, I'm totally. Like, oh my God, totally. It just feels like, yeah, it's just not. And these poor women who are, you know, chronic constipation for days and days and days. So maybe we should start with constipation and like what causes it. Or maybe do you want to talk a little bit about, I'm just trying to think like how the gut works and mobility and pooing and how often you should poo.
Yeah. So I often think about it in order, right? From the food coming in to coming out. So the first places where we start is with the breakdown of the food. So some of that happens in our mouth, but then we get to the stomach and we have our stomach acid. And that's especially where we break down protein. And after that, we go to the small intestine. We have some bile thrown in there, digestive enzymes. And that's where we break down the rest of the food. And so those are the first couple steps and some things can go wrong there. And you might find that, you know, after eating heavier meals, more protein, more fat, you feel like a little sluggish. You feel like food isn't moving as much. Those could be some signs of issues in this upper part. You might also notice issues like heartburn or reflux. And those can indicate low stomach acid, which is contrary to what a lot of people think. And also contrary to what the actual advice is in a lot of cases, which is to take things to lower the stomach acid, which only makes the issue worse in the long term and actually reduces our ability to digest the protein coming in. So we also end up with nutrient deficiencies. So it ends up really making things worse on a number of levels. But then after that, after the food is broken down effectively, we want to be the ones absorbing it. And there's can be some competition here, because if we have an overgrowth of bacteria, you mentioned SIBO, we can have bacteria that grow high up in our small intestine. And at that point, the food that we should be absorbing and the nutrients that we should be getting ends up feeding those bacteria. So not only are we missing out on the nutrients from our food, but the bacteria are also producing really irritating compounds like endotoxin or hydrogen sulfide, things that cause a lot of inflammation in the small intestine. But then also these are things that we absorb and end up causing some of these issues elsewhere. And so those are the first couple of steps. And then we come to the large intestine, which is kind of where we, the food finishes moving through and digesting. And that's especially where motility comes in. And we don't want that food just sitting there. We want it to move all the way through and finish with some of the last absorption processes so that we can clear out the things that are not only in the food that we don't need that are kind of discarded, but also we clear out a lot of toxic things through our liver, through our bile. And so we want those to continue to move through and clear them out instead of reabsorbing them. And this is a huge issue when it comes to estrogen. This is the main way that we clear estrogen is from the liver through the bile and then into the intestines. And if we're dealing with slow motility, we end up reabsorbing a lot of the estrogen that we're trying to clear out, and we can end up with that estrogen dominant state. And it's not just the case with estrogen, it's the case with pollutants and pesticides and all sorts of things that we're trying to clear out of our bodies that we actually detoxify. So it can come into play there. But then also, if we're not having that good motility, the food sits there for too long and feeds the bacteria in the large intestine, and we end up with imbalances and overgrowths there. And then, that also contributes to the bloating and gas and a lot of discomfort. And then also a lot of these other issues. I mean, I mentioned joint pain and brain fog earlier, but also even weight gain can be driven by this endotoxin issue, which basically poisons the mitochondria and prevents them from producing energy effectively. So it can really wreak havoc when our intestines are not set up properly.
So can you just explain, just for the people who may not understand endotoxin, like what is it?
So it's a component of certain bacteria in our intestines, and it's actually like a part of their structure. And they also produce it as well. And so when there's kind of constant turnover of bacteria, they're always like some are dying off and there's new ones growing. But as they die off, you end up, with some amount of endotoxin. But also as they consume, the food and as they consume fibers and things like that, they'll actually produce endotoxin. And it's basically, a component of their cell walls. And in the intestines themselves, it creates an inflammatory state and intestinal permeability. So typically, when we have food in our intestines, we want to absorb it through the cells. But when there's a lot of irritation in the intestines, we have intestinal permeability. A lot of people have probably heard of this as leaky gut. And that's when food particles or other things in our gut leak through the intestines in the way that they're not supposed to. And endotoxin actually causes that permeability. It's one of the main drivers of it. And I think one that's not often discussed. Normally, if someone thinks they have leaky gut, they're just told to take a slew of supplements that seal the gut, but we're not actually often fixing that root. But then once the endotoxin's absorbed, it goes into our bloodstream and ends up everywhere from our, heart and muscles to our brain as well. And we actually see elevated levels of endotoxin in cardiovascular disease and fatty liver disease and obesity. It's a really common issue. It's also something that disrupts brain metabolism in neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. There's often an endotoxin and a bacterial problem too. So we think of this as just being our gut, but really it's central to our health.
And what about, because some women will experience they're constipated and then they have diarrhea. So what's causing the diarrhea?
Yeah, so that's that kind of classic IBS swinging, right? The swing from constipation to then loose stools. And sometimes it's, a couple of days of each. And it has to do with the kind of like a buildup of basically irritation, like as the constipation builds and there's more irritation than you, in people who have like kind of some sensitivity to it, you'll end up then seeing like loose stools and diarrhea sometimes for a couple of days. But actually that swinging back and forth is really highly correlated with SIBO, IBS, which is kind of like a really generic condition. It just kind of describes like this is what you're experiencing, but not what causes it. But it's actually really highly correlated with SIBO. So if you're dealing with either of those swings, or just you're chronically on the constipated side or chronically on the diarrhea side, it's really often tied to different forms of SIBO, different types of bacteria that overgrow in the small intestine. And on one hand, generally the approach that we want to take is, for one, trying not to feed those bacteria first so we can feel a little better and not have the constant bloating and gas and irritation and all of the other effects that normally make us feel pretty bad. But then we also want to work on clearing it out so that then we're not dealing with this huge hindrance and we can eat more foods and see, yeah, some pretty great relief for, from an issue that sometimes people are dealing with for decades.
Yeah, we've got some friends actually here in Thailand. A girlfriend, her partner, he's got it, and I just don't say anything because you're like when you don't want to. You know when you're like, oh, I could totally help you, but I don't want to be that person who's like, listen, if you just do this, it's so hard, isn't it? Do you find it hard too? Like, I just want to help everyone because I feel like this approach, that we all sort of, I feel has changed all of our lives. Like Ray's influenced us so much is, and you've helped thousands of people, and so have we. And I just want to help everyone, and I just want to tell everyone, but obviously you can't, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where someone has to want to be helped, right? And you really have to want to make those changes, and it's hard to watch, but also it ends up being really rewarding when finally, it's the family member or a close friend or their close friend's fiance or something like that, and they're like, "Hey, I'm dealing with this issue. I know you like I've tried everything else. I went to all the doctors. I'm not it's not working." Like, I guess I'll go to you now. But it's really great to finally be able to help some of these people really just turn their health around in ways that they didn't realize
Yeah, it is.
were
It's
possible.
really, it's exciting. And I think because you've obviously been doing this for ages and we've been helping women for like 10 plus years, and I still get excited every day by helping women. But anyway, that's a bit off track. But so what is, can you just, because I sort of want to backtrack, SIBO, what does it stand for and what is it exactly?
Yeah, so it stands for Small Intestinal Bacterial Overgrowth. It's an acronym, SIBO. And the reason why it's important and why we note that it's the small intestine is because you're not normally supposed to have very much bacteria there. You're supposed to have bacteria in the large intestine, and you want to have a nice balanced microbiome there that, you're feeding with healthy sources of fiber and polyphenols from whole fruits or cooked root vegetables, carrot salad, things like that. And I'll talk through a couple of things that tend to cause this, but there are certain issues that cause the bacteria to grow up higher into the small intestine. And that's where they start really competing for our food. They overgrow. And most of the time, when we're dealing with really significant bloating and gas and irritation, especially if you notice it within a few hours of eating, within, 2 to 2.5 hours of eating, if it's in that time frame, it tends to indicate that there's something in the small intestine, something like SIBO, that is consuming the food that you're eating. And then producing some toxic things and making you feel bad. And there's a few underlying factors that tend to cause it. One of them is basically poor digestion higher up. So if we have low stomach acid, for example, and we're not breaking down the proteins very well, then as they we're not going to absorb them as much. And as they pass through the small intestine, there's more material there for bacteria to consume, and they start to consume it and grow. So low stomach acid can be a factor here. Another one could be poor bile flow, and bile is one of the main components that we use to digest fats. So if we're not getting good bile flow because our liver is stressed or for a number of other reasons, maybe we'll come back to those, then we don't break down fats as well, and that can cause some irritation, and that in part can lead to SIBO. But the more important thing is that bile acts as an antibiotic in the small intestine. So it helps to keep it clear of bacteria like it's supposed to be. So if we're not getting enough bile flow, then that can cause or lead to SIBO as well. And then the third big one is motility, that if the food is moving really slowly through the small intestine, there's a lot of opportunity for the bacteria to consume it and grow. And those are some of like the main underlying drivers. But when we talk about what causes those things, stress is a huge one. That's going to lower stomach acid and digestion and slows motility when you're talking about that. Poor sleep is another big one
So sorry,
that
Jay,
tends to
just I'm
slow.
just going back to I'm just gonna ask you some questions around each specific thing. So stress, when you say stress, like do you mean like say so emotional stress? So someone could have a really stressful job that's keeping them up at night, that's causing their stress hormones to be constantly elevated. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Like talk about the stressing a bit more and the forms of stress.
So there's a couple of things that stress does. But basically, stress is our body's response when it feels like it's in danger, feels like it's not safe, it has to respond to a tough situation. And that's a state where we activate what's called our sympathetic nervous system, our fight or flight mode. And a couple of things happen, but one is that we move, we start to redirect our blood flow away from our central organs and toward, our musculature and things like that and our brain. And in the process, that means that we have less digestion going on and basically take energy and nutrients away from our digestion. So one of the natural effects of all of those things that you mentioned, whether it's a fight with a significant other or a stressful work day where, you're feeling it, your heart's racing and you're just not calm, all of those things. And I think most people feel that it really slows their digestion. They're not in a relaxed, state of digestion, right? Instead, they're in a stress state, and that's a state where they're fighting whatever's going on, as opposed to one where their body's kind of working through what it has and building. And so those are a couple drivers of stress, but there's also things like cold stress, ice baths, things like that will have that sort of an effect. Fasting will have that kind of an effect. Not eating carbohydrates will have that sort of an effect, and slow motility, which a lot of people experience. I mean, I've worked with a lot of low carb carnivore people where they're going to the bathroom once a week and
Oh,
feels
God.
normal to them.
Yeah, these crazy diets, like the women I see with the worst gut issues are like they're massively stressed. They've been under eating for years and years. It's like their body's just, I guess it makes sense when you think about it, because like obviously your body needs energy and nutrients to function optimally for good digestion, good detoxification, hormone production. And when you're not giving your body enough fuel and nutrients, it's not going to be able to perform all these functions like adequately. This is actually just sort of off topic, but I'm just doing this fat loss phase now. So I don't know if you probably obviously don't look at all my stories, but we came to Thailand and basically, just too much drinking cocktails and eating red duck curries on the weekends. So slowly over like a 7.5 month period, I've slowly gained like 2.5 kilos, and I put on these my favorite pair of denim shorts I've had for years, and they were like so tight. And I was like, okay, kitty, it's time to get back into better habits. Like during the week, I was fine. I'd eat and train as usual. Anyway, I did. It just took me 6 weeks to get off like 4% body fat and 2.6 kilos and get back into the shorts. But what I found really interesting is during that time, my hair growth slowed right down. My nails didn't grow as quickly. So that just is, it just shows, right? Like when you're not giving your body, because I'm obviously eating a deficit and I don't do this. I'm not going to do this forever. It's just for a specific period of time. But, yeah, like it's just, you think, I said to Craig, I'm like, women live in this state constantly for years and years. Yeah. And it just, I mean, it's interesting too, like this fat loss phase has been pretty easy for me. Like, I mean, I've been hungry, of course, because I'm eating less calories, but in terms of like the fats come off pretty easily, the weights come off easily, just shows if you're in a good, healthy state, fat loss and body recomposition is much easier. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you mentioned women experiencing it. I know I did myself too. I mean, just being in the fitness world and wanting to have a six pack when I was younger and everything. I mean, I was starving myself, and that's the general narrative that we're given is just eat less continuously and, forget about,
You can't live like that forever.
yeah, no, you can't. And I mean, it comes at a huge cost. I mean, you mentioned hair and nails, which are obviously really common ones. But yeah, I mean, I think the weight of the restriction itself is ends up being really heavy too, and affects, mood and obviously energy and sleep and energy when you're like physical activity, like wanting
Yeah,
to
training's
work
harder.
out.
Like my
Oh
training has
yeah.
been more difficult. I've felt lower energy. It is actually quite amazing. Yeah, like and I think I was thinking, saying to Craig, like, fuck, I used to eat less than this, like way less than this, for years. Like, how the fuck did I like live like this? It's quite in it's crazy.
Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, of course, digestion slows down, right? I mean, it's, yeah.
It's anyway, sorry, you were talking about the stress. So yeah, the low energy availability, I think that's a massive one. Hey, talk about how like Obviously, in our program, we'll take women through specific fat loss phases, depending on where they are in their health, journey. A lot of them come in and need to sort of eat at maintenance for a little while, build muscle, improve their overall health and resilience before we put them in a fat loss phase. But can you talk about, and again, that's not a bad thing, doing a fat loss phase, because you do need to eat in a deficit. But I think where a lot of women go wrong is that they've just been dieting and dieting and dieting and dieting for years, and their bodies are so stressed. And like you say, their digestion is downregulated, their hormones are all over the place. So it's like just doing another calorie deficit isn't the answer. So can you talk about specifically how that low energy state affects, like you said, you talked about the production of hydrochloric acid and the digestive enzymes and the mobility and the peristalsis. Like, talk about that.
Yeah, and when and so those, you touched on really the main ones there, right? So stress will lower stomach acid, it decreases bile flow, it slows motility. So we're not breaking the food down as well. We don't have this kind of natural kind of cleaner of our small intestines, and the food is sitting and it's not moving, and that allows for bacteria to overgrow. And that, I was initially just talking short term, right? When we're initially dealing with some stress, the blood flow leaves, goes to the extremities and all of that. But on a chronic basis, like we're talking about here, thyroid hormone decreases, especially in the conversion from our inactive thyroid hormone T4 to the active thyroid hormone T3. And T3 is needed for all of these things. T3 directly helps with increasing stomach acid and bile flow and motility and immune function, all of which we need for a good, healthy microbiome and for keeping the SIBO at bay or any overgrowth at bay. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's missing because, most people who have these sorts of gut issues, they've tried numerous protocols trying to clear it out, right? And they've thrown the kitchen sink at it. They've taken all the supplements for however many months on end. And sometimes there's benefits and relief, and then it comes back, right?
Because
And it
they're
doesn't
not
normally.
fixing the overall system or the environment, right, that's caused that initial gut issue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We haven't fixed the environment that led to it in the first place. And yeah, hypothyroidism is a huge factor and really tightly tied with things like IBS and SIBO.
Can you talk about some of like the crazy protocols or foods and things that you find people have been recommended and done to try to improve gut health and why they don't really work long term? I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just want to jump in quickly and talk a little bit more about our 28-day Rebuild Your Metabolism Challenge. So if you're new here or you've been following me for a while and you've heard me talk about the RYM method, but you haven't jumped in, the 28-day challenge is the perfect way to kickstart your transformation and experience what the RYM method is all about. In 28 days, you're going to learn how to nourish your body, build muscle and strength, lose stubborn body fat, and restore your metabolism using sustainable strategies, all tailored for women over 40. The challenge is designed to show you that real results don't come from deprivation or cutting carbs or fasting or doing endless hours of cardio and HIIT classes. They actually come from fueling your body with pro-metabolic foods, carbohydrates, and building muscle through effective strength training, and then creating sustainable habits that actually work. You're going to learn how to eat more, eat carbs, train smarter, and feel amazing while seeing real progress in 28 days. So if you've been searching for a program that actually works, this is your chance to see how incredible you can feel when you fuel your body and train with intention. So once you sign up, you're going to be invited to the 28-day community platform, which also has the course materials and instructions on how to get set up with our app. So every day, Craig and I spend time answering questions in the community, and we help coach you through the entire process of what to eat, how much to eat, and how to exercise to restore your metabolism, build muscle, and lose body fat sustainably, all while using the new Strength Tracker app to track your progress, your training, and your nutrition. You can jump on our weekly live coaching calls to ask questions and get personalized coaching, or just reach out in the community at any time and ask questions. The calls are recorded and saved to the course materials. So if you can't make it live, don't worry, you can always watch the replays and you get lifetime access to the course materials. We're going to teach you how to set realistic body composition goals, not just weight loss goals, how to set macronutrient targets specific to your goals, and build your own pro-metabolic meal plans. We also have recipe books, meal plan examples, and food lists. We're going to help you customize a training program that fits how many days a week you can train, how long you can train for, what equipment you have access to, and any injuries. And don't worry, we cover everyone. So whether you have zero experience training, you've never set foot in a gym, to you're an advanced lifter that may be potentially not seeing the results that you want. So I'm going to pop a link in the show notes with all the details, and let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, so there's a couple different approaches. Some of them are, we just try not to feed it at all. So we do different versions of fasting where it's either just, you're only drinking water, or you're doing a dry fast or a juice fast, or it's multiple day fasts. And a lot of people feel that relief gut wise. And but of course, that's only, I mean, normally once the fast is over, the same issue comes back, right? That's pretty short term. We also have some of the longer term approaches like the low carb approach. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that draws people to that is they feel leaner and lighter and they're not feeling bloated and they're not gassy. And especially early on, I think that's one of the main things that's responsible for why people feel good and why we see improvements in autoimmune conditions and sometimes sleep issues or brain fog or joint pain on low carb diets. It's because of this relief from the gut. But then what we see is not only does the stress of not having, like the physiological stress of not having the carbs, tend to build up over time, and you see this the sleep issues and anxiety and low libido and low energy all start to crop up. But then also the gut issues are not any better. Sometimes they get worse while someone's on low carb or carnivore, or sometimes instead it's they try to bring back even simple carbohydrates and they're feeling terrible, they're feeling bloated and gassy and it's we then end up undoing not only the problems that were there before, but then also the ones that have accumulated while digging in that hole on low carb.
And you're just losing all the joy in your life because you don't get to eat carbohydrates. We've got another friend over here. This is a different friend. And Craig's so funny because I just can't help myself, like, to say things. And he's basically, they used to do a lot of fasting, a lot of fasting. He's quite lean and he has got, gut issues, and he's gone carnivore, and he's just telling Craig how he's just feeling so good, and it's improved all of his gut issues. And I'm like, well, that's just because you're just improving the symptom, you're not actually improving the root cause. And then now he's telling me, oh, fuck, haven't been sleeping. I'm like, well, if you're not fucking eating any carbs. I was like, did you say anything to him? He's like, no, Kitty. And I said, well, next time, I said, if we're with them, and because I just want to help, listen. This isn't gonna fix your shit long term. Like, it
Yeah,
was
at
so
that point, you have
funny.
to say
Yeah.
something.
Yeah, I have to. Like, what am I? I just can't help myself. One of my girlfriends, I just love her so much because she was like telling me about this new diet that they had got onto, and it didn't sound bad that she was, it's sort of like carnivore. I don't know. But anyway, I just replied and said, you do realize that this is what Craig and I do for a living. Like, we've helped thousands of women improve, like, PCOS, hormonal issues, digestive issues, metabolic health issues. I'm like, well, I could actually help you. Like, Craig's like, I can't believe you said that to And then one day we were out, just we were out all having a girls' night out. And she's like, oh, I'm doing this liver detox, so I'm eating no protein. I said, just for fuck's sake, eat the steak. I said, your liver needs like 90 grams of protein to even just do its job of fucking detoxification. Trust me, eating no fucking protein isn't helping you detox. So she's like, okay, all right. And we had some steak and other stuff. I just can't help myself, Jay. It's so bad.
I think at a certain point, you gotta say something.
Yeah, you could just want to help them. But anyway, so back to the carnivore. Yeah, so it's like, I think, yeah, people are like, oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. But because they're just taking away all of the things that are actually, that they can't digest, and it doesn't actually fix the root cause.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
there are studies where they do calorie restriction or they do, a ketogenic diet, and they see these benefits in the rodents. And
Yeah.
then they transplant the microbiome over to rodents that were not on the ketogenic diet, and they have the same benefits. A huge part of it is coming from the change in the microbiome. And then another factor is the endotoxin itself. They actually then in these studies, they take endotoxin and inject it into the normal rats that weren't on the ketogenic diet, and they have those issues crop up again. So yeah, it's a huge overlooked piece of it where, as you said, you're treating the symptom, right? You're just avoiding the problem of this gut health issue as opposed to actually working on resolving it. And understandably so. I think most of the foods that people are eating, the kind of average foods, especially a lot of the grain-based foods, are really not helping anything gut-wise and are partially contributing to the SIBO in the first place. Not to mention you add on stress and you add on not sleeping and all of the rest. So, I think for most people, they can, when they do something small, I mean, it's not really small, but when they make a simple change by just taking out all the carbs and they feel so much better, I think of course they're getting attached to it. But we want to feel that way. We want to have the, flat belly and not feel bloated or gassy or any of that irritation gut-wise while still eating carbs. That's what we're aiming for.
Okay, cool. All right. So now do you want to talk about like what's the approach that you take with clients when they come to you with these like issues? What do you do with them?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is teaching people how to evaluate their own digestive symptoms, right? So that they can start to understand, okay, I think this is what my issue is. So the first thing is, looking at different symptoms that we're experiencing with our gut. If we're thinking, we want to look at the time frame of when we're experiencing something after we eat it, and then what the experience is. So when we're talking heartburn and reflux and, stomach-related issues, oftentimes there's some issue with stomach acid and protein digestion. Another way we could test that is try a high protein meal versus a low protein meal and identify like, how do you feel with those different meals? And then we would kind of move on and address something like bile flow and fat digestion. And that one, we tend to see it because like the way it presents is like heaviness, right? So if somebody's eating a higher fat meal and they're just not hungry for 6, 7 hours and they feel kind of lethargic, sometimes that can be due to fat digestion. And again, we can try a meal that's much lower in fat and one that's much higher in fat and see how they feel. And then another one would be kind of the bloating, gas, pretty like quick symptoms when someone's having, especially fibrous foods, so like foods like fruits and vegetables that are, whole vegetables, especially if they're raw. Those tend to have a lot more fibers that feed bacteria. And so if when you eat those things, even if it's the kind of better, easily digestible ones, if you're eating cooked vegetables or whole fruits, apples, watermelon, mangoes, and you're feeling bloated or gassy a couple hours after eating, that's normally a sign of that small intestinal overgrowth. Or instead, if you're eating those things and you feel fine initially, but then maybe quite a bit later, maybe like 5 hours later or even 12 hours later, you're feeling off, or your motility's off, or you're getting the kind of gassiness and pain at that point, then that tells us it's more of a large intestinal issue. And once we can identify what that issue is, then we can start to address it. And so, my first strategy there is, for the moment, temporarily, let's take out the things that are irritating you. So if cooked vegetables and apples and pears, if those are causing bloating, we'll stick to the, we'll cut those out. We'll stick to the really easily digestible foods for now. We'll lean into juices and low FODMAP fruits like, pineapple and melons and, mandarins and grapes and berries and those kinds of things. And normally people feel pretty good at that point. If we've identified that the issue is, SIBO, we want to stop feeding it so we don't aren't like constantly poisoning ourselves. So that's the one of the first steps. And then we would want to work on addressing it if we need to. Sometimes just having a bit of time without feeding the issue and feeling good, our metabolic rate comes up. We're seeing that stress lower, thyroid activity improves, the motility improves. Sometimes it's all we have to do and it starts to improve on its own. Or if not, then that's the time where some of those protocols that people might have done before with different herbal antimicrobials can be a good option. If it's a bacterial issue, then we would want to bring in some different antimicrobials to try to clear out the overgrowths of bacteria or candida, fungus. And we don't need to go low carb during that time. We just want to make
It's
sure maybe we're
specific with
doing
the
a little bit
foods.
less, yeah, a little less fiber, a little less of the carbs that tend to feed the bacteria. Or when it comes to stomach acid and bile flow, a couple of amino acids can be really helpful, specifically glycine and taurine. Both have really remarkable effects for stomach acid and bile flow. So that's another really great starting place if someone's thinking that that might be one of their issues.
Do you know I did a little experiment? This is just in my fat loss phase. Because I don't love green veggies. Like I don't eat a lot of green veggies. If we go out and they're in a curry or, like they're part of something that we bought, I just eat them. But I don't purposely buy them and add them to meals. I quite enjoy salads, you know, like I'll have a fresh little salad on the side because I think Thailand's very hot. So like you're craving that more of a salad meals. But one thing I ate a lot of fruit though. I ate a lot of whole fruit over here, potatoes, carrot salad. But one thing I tested is, so we make broth, bone broth here, not bone broth, sorry, chicken feet broth. So you just get heaps of chicken. We cook up like 6 or 7 kilos and it makes the most gelatinous broth. So every day I have about a cup of broth. And then I'll have about 10 to 15 grams of either Satre's premium collagen or their marine collagen. And so I did a little test. I did a week without the broth and the collagen versus a week with it. And I just found my poos were so much better when I had the collagen and the broth. Like, this is gross, but like more plump, full, like hydrated. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, I mean glycine is incredible, which is one of the main amino acids in the collagen and bone broth and gelatin. And I think some people might think like, oh, well, that's a supplement that you're relying on, but this is supposed to be like a part of our food and our meals. You know, when we would cook meat, we would always cook it
Traditionally,
with the bones, and
yeah.
yeah, and we would be using a lot of the tougher cuts that have a lot more gelatin. And you know, you cook them low and slow for a long time, and it breaks them down so that it gets soft. But yeah, we should be eating a good amount of gelatin and collagen in our diet and getting a lot of glycine. And it has really great benefits for the gut. It helps with stomach acid and bile flow. It also helps with detoxification in the liver. So it's, yeah, I mean, something that also is associated with improved lifespan. I mean, it's one of the most maybe
Pretty
underrated
amazing.
amino acids since everyone's so focused on the ones that build muscle. But yeah, glycine is fantastic.
Yeah, I did a Q&A with Emma. You know, my business partner Emma, we've got a Satre free group, and someone asked us how we use, like, how we get more gelatin in our diet. And so, obviously, we put, you know, the premium collagen in our coffee, we take the marine collagen. I make a lot of this chicken feet broth because it's just accessible over here. What Emma does a lot of is she actually, we've got the Best Bloom gelatin. So, obviously, this is used for like cooking and it goes firm. And what she does is she'll bloom it into little ice trays, like ice cube trays, and keep it in the fridge. And then what she'll do is she'll just grab some out and add them to stews and soups. And, you know, so it's just a really easy way. And it really, she said, like thickens them up and makes it really yummy and just adds that, you know, gelatin back into those dishes. She makes custards, adds it to ice cream. So yeah, there's just so many good ways that you can get it in. But I just noticed a re and Craig's like, can you just stop telling me about these amazing, like, because I like to talk about poo. I don't know. I feel like when you do a really good poo, it's like the best start to the day. Like every day when I get up and I do an awesome poo, which is most days. Some days not, like when I get stressed, I'm like to Craig, I just did the best fuck. I had the best sleep today last night and I just did the best, the greatest poo, you know. And I said, I just feel really light and happy and, you know, I don't know. It's just a, it just makes you feel so good.
It definitely does.
What about, can you talk about cascara? Because you know, cascara is something that we
Sure.
sell, that we typically use with clients, like when they're getting started and they've got those mobility issues that can help. It has obviously, it's got, is it Imodium? Is that what it's, what it is? It's also can, which can be, you know, there's benefits beyond just the, because it's not like a laxative, it's like energizes the bowel. But anyway, talk about cascara.
Yeah, there's so many misconceptions around it, you know, and I think if you're just to look up cascara, there's a lot of warnings, you know, don't use this too long and all of that. And a lot of that, I think, for one, is due to poor quality products that aren't well fermented, so you have a lot of
They're
irritating
aged.
compounds in there. Yeah, exactly. So you want one that's well aged for sure. And yeah, I think it can be a fantastic option for getting motility going, especially for people who have been dealing with that chronic constipation. And yeah, the Imodium in there has a number of benefits. It helps modulate the microbiome and rebalance that a little bit. It also, as you were saying, energizes the intestines. It supports ATP production in the cells that line the intestines, which is part of how it helps with the motility process. So it tends to be a very gentle effect when it's a good quality product. And yeah, it can be a really great tool. And you know, another, I mean, there's a number of different things to consider here. So one is, if we've addressed, you know, the stomach acid, bile flow side of things, and maybe a little bit of the bacteria, or we're just kind of feeling like motility is our biggest issue, then I think the cascara can be a really great tool to get things moving. And it's, I think part of the concern too is that people are going to start it and they're never going to not be able to use it again. Like they'll have to use it forever. But that's not the case. I mean, I've had people who have used it for many months
Yeah, and then
and
they
had a
come
ton
off
of
it.
benefits from it, and
Same.
then they're able to come off of it. And sometimes they're using really large doses because they've been dealing with constipation for
Yeah.
decades, and it's really, severe,
Yeah.
and they're able to work their way off. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a really great herb to have in the toolkit.
Yeah, I think the key though is like, because we source ours from Farm Labor, which is the like Italian properly aged. Yeah, it tastes terrible. It's like really like
Yeah.
doesn't taste very
Yours is one of
nice.
the few that I recommend, by the way.
Yeah,
'Cause yeah, it is
yeah.
a great product.
And Emma is just anal about every fucking product. It's like I'm sure our formulators hate her because she's just, which is a good thing though. Like she's so anal about everything. But yeah, and the cascara I find is good too when I travel. I just find I'm not as regular when I travel. I don't know, it's I'm out of my routine or whatever. During the fat loss phase, I've just been adding a tiny little pinch into my morning supplement. So I think you can, if you take less, not enough to cause, trying to think of the right words to say this, but that movement, but just a tiny amount can have systemic benefits, like not to have a laxative effect, but just a small pinch. But yeah, it's a really great product. A lot of our clients, we use it with them too, and they come off it and then they just use it, have it in their toolkit when they need it,
Right.
because it's like, of course, if you just take it and you don't actually do any of the foundational work, like it's pointless, right? Like with any of these supplements.
I mean, even then, it's still better. I would say it's still better to at least get the
True.
bowels
But I mean,
moving.
like overall, if you're
You,
not doing it, if
yeah.
you're just going to be like, I'm still going to
Of
live my
course.
shit lifestyle and, just take cascara for the rest of my fucking life, it's, probably not great. But
Yeah.
is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you want to cover? Because I feel like I've asked you everything I want to ask you, but.
Sure. Well, we were talking a little bit about the GLP-1 agonists. We were maybe going to discuss those,
Oh,
but they do
yeah.
fit in here when it comes to digestion. So maybe we'll sneak those in.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so there's obviously we're talking like Ozempic, Wegovy, that whole category of products that's really popular right now for weight loss. And there's No, a number of things that are potentially concerning with them, but one of them are definitely these effects on the gut. And so, I mean, there's two things to consider. One is typically when people are using these, they're really severely reducing the amount that they're consuming. We're not talking about, just switching to healthier foods and maybe just eating, a little bit less calories because they're not eating out as much or something. People are generally severely calorie restricting. And then on top of that, there's also direct effects of these drugs in the intestines where they delay gastric emptying. So they're slowing down the movement of the food through the stomach, which is part of what leads to the kind of satiety effect, makes, slows down appetite, but also, tends to slow down digestion as a whole. And so between these two things, I mean, we already talked about how severe calorie restriction on its own is very stressful to the body. And then on top of that, you add something that slows down digestion. And then on top of that, there's actually direct effects of these GLP-1 agonists on our sympathetic nervous system, our stress system, where they activate the whole hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and activate that and increase cortisol production as well, which also slows motility and reduces blood flow to the intestines and everything. So I think one of the biggest concerns with that is that we're fast tracking people toward these sorts of gut issues. And I think much like we were talking about with low carb earlier, when someone goes back to trying to eat normally after that, not only are we talking about someone who's going to be prone to weight gain, but definitely prone to some major intestinal issues. And so that's one of my biggest concerns there. And I have seen that in a handful of people. I haven't worked with all that many people that have used them, but definitely a few who have noticed some really intense intestinal irritation and problems with them. And some people had to stop taking them entirely because of just from the gut effects, let alone some of those other concerns. So just another one that fits in here in terms of the aspects of our modern world that are destroying people's gut health.
We all just want the quick fix, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not the quick. We don't blame you. I understand, but that is has been so great as always, Jay. Thanks so much for coming on and it's just such a wealth of knowledge. I always love having you on. I always learn stuff when we do the podcasts. And so I'm going to drop all of Jay's details below, his podcast, how you can work with him, his website. We're actually having him on again with Dr. Keneally, Kate Deering, Kitty Martone, Anne Marie from Hot Flash Inc. And we're going to do a deep dive into women's health after 40 and HRT. So that's, I'm really actually looking forward to that podcast. And it will be great to have a doctor on there because, we constantly get these comments, oh, none of you are doctors. So, oh, your opinions, you can't possibly know,
Of course,
Of
of
course.
course.
Yeah. But yeah, let's look at the thousands of people that we've helped and women, improve their health and their hormone imbalances. And anyway, that was great as always. And everyone, take a screenshot and share it on Instagram stories with your biggest takeaways and tag me at Kitty, KittyBlomfield. And each month I pick someone and they win a satchel of Saturay Premium Collagen. And Jay, thanks again. And looking forward to chatting with you on the podcast panel soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kitty. I'm looking forward to that as well. And then also, as far as gut health goes, I do have an energy balance food guide that organizes foods and a one-page infographic. And I have a separate scale on that infographic for digestive issues. So if you're dealing with some of
Perfect.
these digestive issues, download that food guide at jfeldmanwellness.com/guide. You can make sure you eat the easier to digest foods and avoid some of those issues. So check that out.
I'll get him to send me that link and I'll pop it in the show notes for people so they can find it easily. But thanks again and I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Kitty.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KittyBlomfield. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.